Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. It's not 6 a.m., I promise. You're fine. It's 2 p.m.
You damn right.
If it even was though you hear my voice.
Hey, look here. If it was 6 a.m., I'd be toes up, Sean. They know better once they hear this voice, for sure, man.
We are live at the Houston Sports Awards, the third annual Houston Sports Awards. And I'm Sean Pendergast alongside Clint Sterner. And we are very, very pleased to be with you on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in the city of Houston. Live at the Hotel Americas here right across from Toyota Center, right next to Toyota Center, as we are just a few hours away, Clint, from recognizing the best of the best in Houston sports. I feel like this is this of all days, I feel like is a great day to have the Houston Sports Awards, because I feel like we need to remember the good in Houston sports, because it's been a rough couple of weeks. Really, yeah. Up to and including yesterday with the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, this is my first time to be at the awards, so I'm excited for selfish reasons, but yeah. You know, as you mentioned, there's no doubt about it. I mentioned it yesterday, the Astros fanfare and out of season, but getting ready to rock and roll for training camp, had a little bit of adversity, obviously. The best thing to do, man, is get back out in front of it and answer those questions and mix and mingle and have events like this. So you're right. There's no doubt about it that the timing of this is absolutely perfect. I think for all the organizations here in Houston, get time away. You're obviously in Houston, but get time away from the game and enjoy a little bit. And, again, be able to mix and mingle with other athletes and former athletes and coaches and things of that nature.
I think it's a good reset, and here's what I mean. And it's nice to be here. It's great to do the show with you, as always.
Yeah.
I always enjoy this. But Seth and I were talking early in the show today about just kind of this little patch of turmoil that we're in right now with the teams. You know, the Texans are going through some changes that I think have the fans a little bit nervous right now. And the season didn't end certainly the way anybody wanted it to. The Astros well chronicled what they've been going through here. They're still a really good team, and they're going to have a great season. And then the Rockets are just in the roughest patch of basketball that I can remember them going through in the last two or three years, maybe even since the season when they went 41-41 back in 2016. And yesterday was just the latest. They blow a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. And Seth and I were talking about that today, and we had to take a step back and go, okay, as we're sitting here in this patch of whatever it is we're going through here, keep in mind, these are still three teams that are playoff teams. These are still three teams that are trying their hardest with the resources they have to do the right thing. Whether it works or not remains to be seen. One of these three teams is one of the favorites to win the championship in their sport next year. So it's not 2013, you know what I mean? 2013,
yes.
This was a city that had the worst football team and the worst baseball team, and the basketball team was largely irrelevant. It was James Harden's first year. This tonight will be a good reminder of that, I think. And if you're not going to be here live, it's going to be on television on AT&T Sportsnet. This will be a good reminder that despite the fact that there's some storm clouds swirling, that this is still among the best places to be a sports fan right now.
Look, there's zero doubt about it.
It's a great place to be a sports talk show host.
Sean, it really makes our job easy, man, because it's nobody likes to kick the dog when he's down. Nobody likes to. 2013, it was probably very difficult in this city to do what we do because you feel like you're piling on. It's easy to be critical of teams that win. It's easy to be critical of teams that are division winners, former World Series winners. It's easier to be critical and really dig down to the roots of what some of the problems are, maybe just what happened last game and move on. So. This will be a great reminder of how things are, the atmosphere of pro sports in Houston for sure. And I tell you what, Patty does an amazing job.
Patty Smith, yeah.
With this setup from the outside all the way in, the banners, there's not one stone left unturned. The details are special. So it's a big night. Sure, we'll remind everybody be reminded of how successful the pro franchises have been in Houston. But I tell you what, brother, this is one for the ages. Now, it's my first time. I've never been here.
You're going to enjoy yourself.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
You're going to enjoy yourself. It's going to be a fun night. And what does this mean to you, the listener? Well, it means you're going to hear some pretty good guests along the way. There's three new Hall of Famers that are going to be presented tonight, including Rudy Tomjanovich, who's a hero in this town, the coach of the two championship Rocket teams back in 94 and 95. Mary Lou Retton and Carl Lewis, both Olympic gold medalists back in 1984, who were legends not only within their sport, but within sport, period, the two of them. So they're all three going into the Hall of Fame. We expect to have all three of them on the show along the way. We expect several other Houston sports luminaries to join us along the way. We expect your former boss's 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 boss, Jerry Jones, to join us along the way. He's here to present Bob McNair, the late Bob McNair, as the Lifetime Achievement Award winner.
Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to obviously catching up with Jerry as well.
I'm going to take that segment off and just let the two of you catch up. That's what I'm going to do.
Look, B-Mac better keep his hand on the dump button, that's for sure. Hey, what you know what's really cool is you rattled off those names of the Hall of Famers, Tomjanovich, Carl Lewis, and Mary Lou Retton. I mean, I can relate to the listeners in a unique way of growing up right down the street. I mean, those were all. I mean, that's right in the heyday of my junior high school years of growing up. And whether you're watching the Rockets win it all, or you're watching Carl Lewis or Mary Lou Retton in the Olympics, it is literally those young memories made here in the Houston area. That's going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to sitting down with those three as well.
For sure. In the meantime, we're going to weave a sports show into this whole thing today.
Sure.
And I would say, you know, Clint, yesterday was a holiday, so we probably got a lot of people tuning in that were maybe checked out yesterday, maybe at the Rocket game yesterday, whatever the case may be. So I think it's always good to reset the news of the last 48 hours, and probably the biggest news of the last 48 hours involves the Texans. Romeo Crennel out, Anthony Weaver in. I say Romeo Crennel out. We'll see. He may still have a role with the team. But the one that affects Sundays the most was his role as defensive coordinator. Anthony Weaver is getting bumped up to defensive coordinator. I know Anthony Weaver a little bit, and the things that I know of Anthony Weaver, I like Anthony Weaver a lot. I think he's smart. I like his pedigree. As someone who was in the game, and you've got a chance to maybe not so much watch Anthony Weaver because he's been in charge of a position group, not a whole defense, but just knowing what you know about him, what was your reaction yesterday when you saw the news, both the news about Rack and then the subsequent Weaver news?
Well, I'll say this. I love the move after I dug into it. I think initially you have a knee-jerk reaction would be to go, man, there's some good coordinators out there that have had experience. Some have had Super Bowl experience. Why not go that route? And there's another school of thought that says, you know, last time you did this where it was a Romeo Crennel disciple essentially hiring from within was Vrabel, and the numbers slipped a little bit. It wasn't an improvement. But the more you look into Anthony Weaver, man, I love his resume. I love who he played for in Rex Ryan. I love who he coached with or under initially when he got through playing in the Jets, again with Rex Ryan. I mean, when you've got guys that are raised up a certain way, and I'm not talking about – I know the game has changed significantly since then, but when you talk about a guy that's been raised up a certain way of maybe believing in being aggressive in crunch time, and when it comes cutting time, where does his heart lie? What's in his blood? Is it to be aggressive to save a game or to win a game, or is it to sit back? And I got to believe that the guys that he coached under and played under, that there's going to be a little bit more of an aggressive approach there. I love the fact, Sean, that there's – I think when we do radio and we communicate with the fan base, we throw around bringing in a new coach and a new system like it's not a big deal. And there are some serious growing pains when you change terminology, when you change the face and the schedule of every meeting. There's some serious things you got to go through that you just growing pains that you've just got to go through. And so I think it was good to hire from within for that reason as well. I love the Anthony Weaver hire, man.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see how it plays out just in terms of personnel.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously they need to upgrade the personnel. They need more talent on the defense. I'm anxious to see if they go with the same, you know, similar body types, you know, similar types of you know, especially along, ironically, the position group that Anthony Weaver was in charge of. You know, do they still go with some of those big 330-pound hosses up there, minus J.J. Watt, who's – you have a superhero, and then you've got all these 330-pound, pretty heavy guys up there.
Yeah.
Do they try to do something where they're more athletic up front? You know, is that
– You know, Sean, one thing that I think is critical, and you hope a younger guy does, is – because in today's game, man, you've got to be multiple. I think back in – you know, back in the day when 90% of the teams you were facing were either pro style or West Coast, you could pretty much build your roster and your starting lineups accordingly, depending on where you were playing ball, and then you adjusted if you made the run in the playoffs. But to me, today's game is 1 week you face Lamar Jackson, the next week you face a guy like Pat Mahomes in that offense. And so you've got to be able to stop power. You've got to be able to deal with speed. And so you hope that with the youth, with the change in Anthony Weaver, that one thing that is for sure is that you've got a guy that can be multiple.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that, Sean, is because the first sign will be not, hey, is there a certain body type available that we can plug in, but is there a really good player that we can bring into Houston and showcase him, highlight him by being multiple? And so it'll be interesting to see how they address the personnel needs on the defensive side of the football. But the good thing is the scheme is in place, the coordinator's in place, and they didn't spend any money before that guy was in place in this offseason. So first things first, that's taken care of. Next up is go get some players.
John McClain said they're not done yet over there.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of making changes and making moves. He was on In the Loop today, and I was listening, and they were playing the leg height game that they do with John, where he simulates a dog doing his business. And John said that there's more to come. He thinks, his opinion, he thinks that there's more to come over there. I'll be anxious to see if that's the case, where it is. You know, is it offensive? Is it defensive? Is it somewhere else? Is it scouting? Is it
Look, I think the only one to discuss and the biggest opportunity for improvement is the offensive coordinator position.
Yeah.
I think there's room to improve immediately. I think there's room to improve significantly. I just believe that position has to change moving forward for this football team.
All right, a lot to get into. We've got plenty of guests that are going to be coming by. We're at the Houston Sports Awards presented by Insperity. Sean Pendergast getting a chance to come back to my patch of real estate here in the afternoon and just check on it. You know what I mean?
And we are glad to have you,
make sure that you haven't, you know, my furniture still isn't chipped or anything like that.
I'm a good renter.
Dude, I'm good with the real estate I'm on now. I'm the guest here today, so it's all good. Sean Pendergast alongside Clint Sterner, live out at the Houston Sports Awards. Up next, what's wrong with James Harden and Chris Paul, the revenge tour yesterday? We'll dig into what happened over at Toyota Center. That's next. Sean Pendergast alongside Clint Sterner. We're live at the Houston Sports Awards, smack dab in the middle of downtown Houston, Texas.
Smack dab. See, you're picking it up.
I am.
Smack dab.
I've been trying to put the word plum in front of more things. You know, as an adverb.
Oh, you can do that.
Plum goofy.
Plum crazy.
Yeah. I've been trying to do more of that. I've been trying to do more analogies that involve animals of various kinds.
Yeah,
you know, whether it's pigs or raccoons
or
anteaters.
Like
So I'm getting there. Your vernacular is slowly seeping into mine.
I don't know if your morning listeners are going to appreciate that. We'll find out.
We'll see. Good to be alongside Clint Sterner here. We're at the Houston Sports Awards. You were on the air yesterday while the Rocket game was going on.
Yes.
Were you distracted by the things that your eyes were seeing in the fourth quarter at all? Did you want to just
to be completely honest,
did it make you want to throw your headset down or anything?
To be completely honest with you, man, we were dialed in on a couple of things, and I didn't get a chance to really invest into the fourth quarter.
Oh, well, let me get you caught up.
Yeah.
they were up 100-85 with about 7 minutes to go in the game, and they gave up a 27-7 run down the stretch to lose by 5 to another former Rocket that left the building over the last couple of years. This time, Chris Paul again, because they lost to Oklahoma City a couple of weeks ago, too. James Harden went 1-for-17 from 3. Not sure if you heard that. Russell Westbrook had a triple-double, which means he now has a triple-double against every team in the NBA because he'd never had one against OKC. However, the final play of the game where the Rockets could have tied the game up, Russell Westbrook did his best Kiki QT impersonation and decided to run a route right next to P.J. Tucker in the corner, intercepted the pass, dribbled it across the floor, and decided that a fadeaway three, him doing a fadeaway three in the opposite corner was a better shot than just letting P.J. Tucker catch the pass and shoot the only shot that P.J. Tucker really makes, which is corner threes.
And what you're saying is spacing hurt the Rockets last night.
I'm saying they're a mess right now, Clint. They are a mess right now.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know it's been a tough run. What have they lost their last four?
Yeah, four games.
Four and
James
five
Harden,
their last six or something along those lines.
James Harden, they're 2-5 in their last seven.
Yeah.
James Harden, I think I'm more concerned about this. And maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe it's one of these things James Harden will shoot himself out of it the way he always does. But this is a seven-game stretch now where he's 21 for 91 from three-point range. It includes a 4 for 20 and a 1 for 17 yesterday.
Sean, I'm more – you know, we've seen that before. I mean, we've seen that before. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be concerned, because I think this team's ability to overcome droughts essentially has proven to be a very difficult thing to overcome. I mean, those have been – when the team goes cold, what's the answer? What's the counterpunch? You know, in the past, I believe you had Chris Paul to somewhat steady the waters. He could shoot the rock from outside. He was a facilitator, moved it to the other shooters that were on the floor. I think a big part of this, man, is less about less about what James Harden is going to do about the shooting woes. That's going to be James Harden. When he gets hot, you're going to love him. When he struggles, it's obviously going to be a talking point. But how do they figure out a way to get Westbrook to be as effective as Chris Paul was, you know, or more effective? You know, I mean, the fact that he's struggling shooting from outside is a real problem. When he's the getting to the rim, looking to score guy, it clearly takes away from the supporting cast, which has been built in a way to win from the perimeter. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how I guess that's a chemistry. I mean, I guess that's a dynamic of chemistry, right?
Well, here's the thing. And as you know, I was one of the few that was saying,
yes,
don't do the deal.
Yes, you were.
Run it back with Chris Paul. And I look smart right now, because it's not working for the Rockets. And two of these losses in recent weeks here have been to Chris Paul in Oklahoma City. And, oh, by the way, Chris Paul all of a sudden is an Iron Man. He can't get hurt. His hamstrings are – I don't know where he went, if he got a procedure done on them over in Europe or something like that. But the guy doesn't get hurt now. So I'm not dunking on anybody here. I'm just I understand that I'm talking about this topic at a time where the possession arrow is pointed in my direction. I think what we're learning, though, to answer your question, like, okay, how do you get – Russell Westbrook integrated the way that Chris Paul meshed pretty well with James until James didn't want him here anymore.
And he meshed with everybody when James was off the floor really, really well.
Yeah,
as well.
And I think that to me is the big thing. Boy, you remember the concern when they picked up Chris Paul was, boy, that's two guys that have to have the ball in their hands.
Yep.
And as it turned out, we found out that Chris Paul doesn't need the ball in his hands as much as we thought he did. He's cool with letting James do his thing. Chris Paul's kind of fun watching him shoot these mid-range jumpers. And oh, by the way, he's a pretty good three-point shooter too. Russ is none of those things.
Yeah.
Like, Russ is truly a guy, like, offensively, he does have to have the ball in his hands. He's at his best when he's got the ball in his hands and he's attacking the rim. He's not an end point for a guy. He's not an end point that where James drives and he draws guys, you dish it out to Russ from 18 or 20 feet and something good is going to happen. That's the part to me that Russ is a better player than Chris Paul in a vacuum. I don't know that he's a better player alongside James Harden than Chris Paul is.
Yeah, I mean, all you've done, Sean, has gone from two ball dominant players where one was a facilitator, the other was a scorer, and they butted heads, you know, here or there. You've gone from that to two ball dominant players that both are scorers of the basketball, and now, you know, you wonder if shooting as many three, getting as many threes up in a game is really the right idea for this basketball team. It's the chemistry thing is very, you know, is still I think the elephant in the room, and that's been the case from the jump. But man, and having to overcome or giving up big leads has been, you know, the case from the jump. I think those are things that we've seen this team figure out a way to overcome it come playoff time. You know, the one thing that I don't know that the Rockets have experienced to this level is, we talked about it before the season, is the lame duck coach. A coach with no contract. Does he now have the want to, the fire to go in there and right this ship, or do you just ride it out?
I don't know. They're playing like a team right now that doesn't really want Mike D'Antoni to be around much
right
longer.
And see that's the bigger problem than James Harden going having a cold streak
and I'm not saying they don't want him around. I'm just saying they're playing like a team.
Yeah,
in the last seven minutes of the game, that was a team that was giving no effort defensively. The same thing happened in the third quarter of the Laker game on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just whether the team's is open to it or if it's just him sitting there going, man, look, I don't have any long-term investment here. I just wonder if this adversity, I know it's different than adversity they went through last year. You just wonder if they've got guys and the head coach is in a position to where, although his future is uncertain here, that he buckles down and gets these guys right. It's just a I think it's just a different different situation, different scenario that the Rockets are in right now, other than just the fact that Chris Paul's out and Westbrook is in. I'll tell you this, the one thing that I think is funny about the Rockets is there's – I don't hear too many guys talking about Chris Paul being old at this point in time.
No. He looked good. He had 28 points yesterday. Yeah. He looked really good. And I – here, to me, big picture, this is the unfortunate thing for the Rockets, big picture here, just in terms of the tapestry of this city. Probably appropriate to talk about this. We're at the Houston Sports Awards. So this is more of a take about Houston than it is just specifically the Rockets. But with what this city is going through right now with these teams, you know, with kind of the disappointment and the way the season ended for the Texans, the questions that surround the Texans as far as, hey, what is their direction right now in terms of leadership and what we know that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, according to John McClain, are trying to, quote, mold the team in the shape of what their vision is. But I don't know that any of us know what that vision really is, because anytime Bill O'Brien gets asked, he acts like he's just part of a committee. And Jack Easterby's never met with the media once since he's been here. So we don't know what that is. That's the Texans. The Astros, we know what the issues are there. They're going to be a good team, but they've embarrassed themselves.
Right.
And I think by proxy embarrassed the city. The bad thing for the Rockets to me out of all this, yeah, they're losing ground in the West in 2019, 2020. They had a real opportunity here in this little 2-3 week period, at least, and maybe longer, that if they strung some wins together, they could be the one team that's making the city feel good about things right now.
Yes.
They could be the one thing where you go, man, the Astros, that was really embarrassing. Let me know when they have a manager. Man, Texans, I don't even know how I feel about this offseason. But, man, the Rockets are winning some games right now. Boy, I feel really good about this Westbrook and Harden combination. And it's not just that they're losing, but they're losing in ways where you look at it and go, man, they go 12 minutes a night, it looks like, and they just decide not to try for a little while. That to me, because I'm a huge Rocket fan, man. I root for the Rockets hard. And that's disappointing to me. Like, that was a real – they had a real opportunity the last week to 10 days to, I think, win some people over. Like, people hate the Rockets. They don't. But I think we all know what the tapestry of this city is, where you've got a baseball team that's eight outs away from the World Series. They're a championship-level team. The Texans are the football team in town. Throw the record out the window. There will always be football fans in town. And the Rockets – they have to battle harder than those teams do to get the minds and the eyes and the hearts of the city, and they had a chance to do it, a golden opportunity to do it, and they're blowing it right now.
Yeah, look, that's the story of James Harden's tenure as a Rocket, right, is that throughout the season there's several missed opportunities to take the bull by the horns. You've seen it this year, opening week against the Bucks. You saw it the other night against L.A. and LeBron with AD out. I mean, it's just – missed, as you and I sit here and see them as huge opportunities. I know the season's long, but golly, there's got to be games that are starred on that schedule that mean a little bit more to go and get. And you know, the way that they played against the Lakers was super concerning. Outside of the fact the opportunity in the city itself, the way that they played against the Lakers was super concerning. Sean, I want to ask you about this.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the Rockets are – they're built to compete with the dynasty. They're built to compete with and perform well and stay on the floor with Golden State. And Golden State is no longer a threat. I mean, the West has obviously changed in a big, big way. And if you look at the West and how it's changed from the teams that you've got to go compete with and battle with are now built totally different than Golden State was.
Yeah,
built.
And there's more of them. It's not as top-heavy.
Yes.
You know, before it was the Rockets and Golden State, and that was it. There was a big drop-off to the next set of teams, especially 2 years ago when the Rockets won 65 games. You're right. Without a super team, that's an interesting debate, Clint. What's harder, trying to win the Western Conference, having to beat one super team, or trying to win the Western Conference, let's say, as a sixth seed, which when we talk to Rudy T later on when he comes on with us, we can ask him about that, because they won the second title they won as a sixth seed. You know, we can get his take on whether or not this is a six seed that looks anything like the six seed,
Sean,
that he coached. But you look, I mean, Clint, the Lakers, Anthony Davis and LeBron James, the Nuggets, a really, really good team that's going to be here tomorrow night. We'll be at that game tomorrow night. Utah is the hottest team in basketball right now. They're 16-2 in their last 18 games. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George for the Clippers. Luka and Kristaps for Dallas.
Yes.
Like, there's not the super team. I don't think. I mean, we'll wait and see what the Lakers are. They're 34-9. Anthony Davis is banged up. Who knows? Maybe they wind up becoming a team that wins 65 games. I have no idea. There's no Golden State Warriors in this bunch, but it's a deeper, Western Conference. Oklahoma City 7. They're 2 games behind you. They beat you twice in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, Sean, my whole deal is like we're worried about chemistry. We're worried about 1 of 19 or whatever in the fourth quarter and losing a home. I mean, that's tough. But in the big scheme of things, man, it's no longer about outshooting Golden State in a 7-game series.
Right.
The landscape of the West and of the NBA has changed. I'm more concerned about that and how that affects the Rockets than I am a cold shooting spell or chemistry between Westbrook and Harden. The league changing is more of a concern. That's a long-term effect.
We're live at the Houston Sports Awards. What's the biggest name that'll be appearing tonight at the Houston Sports Awards? We'll talk to the lady who put it all together, Patty Smith. We'll do that next. We are live at the Houston Sports Awards presented by Insperity. I'm Sean Pendergast alongside Clint Sterner, and we are pleased to be joined now by the executive producer of this event, the 3rd annual Houston Sports Awards. It gets bigger and better every single year, and that's all thanks to our next guest. It's Patty Smith. Patty, I guess... am I jinxing anything by congratulating you on this? Because it looks amazing already out here.
It does look amazing. You are not jinxing me yet. It looks amazing because of all the things that everybody did from that side of it. The amazing part for me will be at the end of the night when you tell me the show is just as good as what the setup looked
like. Okay, good. And I anticipate that because you have a 2-year streak of doing that. It's been an incredible event. Let's start with the Hall of Famers, this class of Hall of Famers. Rudy T., Mary Lou Retton, and Carl Lewis. What are your thoughts as somebody, especially somebody who covered Rudy T during the championship runs and things like that? What was their reaction from all three of them when you told them about this?
Oh my gosh, it was phenomenal. I mean, I think Rudy's was, we brought him in town under the premise that he was just coming in to play golf with Bill Worrell, and we had a whole bus that surprised him a little bit. So, I think Rudy has been kind of interesting to watch because even though he didn't have the biggest – Mary Lou's surprise, and I'll tell you about that. But okay. I think Rudy's been one who's just so embracing the whole process from the time we told him until now. He's just been just so gracious on everything. I think he's enjoying the moment. You get to that point, I think, in your life where you can kind of look back and reflect and really appreciate all that you kind of did and all that it means to the people who want to honor you and celebrate that. And he's relishing all of it. I even put him to work. We had some stuff that was delivered to Austin. I had him load it in his car and bring it for us. And so he's been phenomenal. Mary Lou, her reaction was incredible. We surprised her literally at her front door, like Publishers Clearinghouse. And she, thought, did someone order pizza? Had absolutely no idea. She was floored. So, and Carl, we surprised him at the office during track practice one day. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah. What about, this is your 3rd year. How has this thing grown for you? What's been some of the growing pains, because what it is now obviously is truly beautiful, and we all get to see it on game day, but I'm sure it's a chore leading up to it.
It is a labor of love for sure. There's so many details, and I think the biggest challenge really isn't making it great, it's the expectations. We set the bar pretty high the first time, no one had any expectations, and I think it came off so well that it's like, well, that was great, but that was kind of a one-time deal, you'll never top that. And not so much because we did anything great, but because we were able to get the right people in the room and to have all these athletes in here and then have a staff who can make it look as beautiful as this, I think was kind of the home run. So I think the challenge is making it bigger and better. And I mean, I can honestly say so far, to what you guys said, we've stepped it up.
Yeah. For those who don't know the story of this all getting started, tell us about the other cities that were maybe doing something like this. And what are the other cities now, 3 years later? Is this something that's starting to – is this a concept that people are starting to adopt in other cities to celebrate their sports histories?
Well, I think different cities – when I first did this the first year, it was really important for me to go to the other cities and see what they did. A lot of them do it, and they do it in different ways. And I would, say, okay, what's been the biggest challenge for you? What works? What doesn't? So I kind of took the best of what I liked and what I didn't like and tried to incorporate it into here. And truth be told, the best show I went to was the ESPYs. So that's kind of what I tried to model it after.
It's the Mac Daddy.
And honestly, because all those other cities were like, they do these really nice deals, but they're like, well, the hardest thing for us is getting the athletes in the room. So we focus on one athlete, and then we build it to other things. And I was like, well, I think I can do that. I can get the athletes in the room. And so I think that's where we've kind of separated ourselves from other cities, and no knock on anyone else. It's been done differently, but there's not a question in my mind that we do it bigger and better than any other city in the country.
Patty, one thing that you guys are highlighting this year, and you can tell me more about the relationship, but the brothers in arms, and I mean, I'm obviously it blows my mind, and I told you this on the radio a couple of weeks ago, when you talk about Warren Moon, Andre Ware, Deshaun Watson, Vince Young, I mean, what those guys have meant in one way, shape, or form in different eras to the state of Texas, all through football, but just tremendous guys. You guys obviously have a great relationship, and that the brothers in arms is one thing y'all are is highlighting tonight. Tell us a little bit about that relationship.
It's honestly, it is what I'm most looking forward to tonight. There's two things that I've got my eye on tonight, and that's the Open. We're going to kill it with an entertaining Open. Just so much talent on the stage at one time, and then also is the Brothers in Arms. And this one has just really, I mean, I literally have just developed such a passion for this. I could do this 24/7 year round. These guys coming together, and they're not just putting their name on it. They are offering diversity scholarships to kids who grew up very much like they did in a single family environment. And the guys are so into it. They're so involved. They made the phone calls to these three recipients tonight that we're going to give these scholarships to. They started to develop a relationship with them. They've offered and they have bought their dresses for them, their clothes. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. Wow. And so to see them, and they're all arriving in the same limo tonight.
Oh, cool.
Together and walking the red carpet with the kids.
The recipients and the quarterbacks.
The recipients and the quarterbacks are walking the red carpet together.
Oh, that's incredible.
And to see these kids get these scholarships tonight is going to be just, I mean, it just doesn't, this is why we're all here. I mean, we're all here to have an entertaining night and do some, you know, fun things and celebrate sports. But when we can pay it forward and give it back and do something that matters, then we're leaving our legacy. And that's what it's about.
Well put. Patty Smith, executive producer of the Houston Sports Awards, joining us here at the Houston Sports Awards. Sean Pendergast alongside Clint Sterner. Lifetime Achievement Award tonight will be the late Bob McNair. His family will be here. Jerry Jones is here to present that award. I guess, tell us about that coming together a little bit, because I think it's safe to say, when I think of Bob McNair, me personally, I think that I wouldn't have a job in radio if it weren't for Bob McNair, because if this city didn't have an NFL team, there'd be no need for the plethora of sports stations that there are in this town. And I think there's a lot of people that can say we wouldn't have the jobs or the city or the quality of life that we would have had there not been an NFL team in this town. How did that all come together? And just thought from having, you know, obviously covered Bob McNair for all those years.
Well, I mean, it's a no-brainer. It really is. And not only is Mr. McNair being honored with the Lifetime Achievement Award tonight, he is the first one to not only receive that, but his plaque will be put on the Houston Sports Walk of Fame as well with the Hall of Famers. And that's kind of out of my hands. We do have a selection committee. We have an executive committee that selects, you know, from the nominations and selects our winners. Bob McNair was a no-brainer to them. Of course, we've been dealing with the family, with Cal and with Mrs. McNair. Mm-hmm. They're bringing an entire contingent, grandkids. They're all coming tonight. Jerry Jones could not. In fact, he's at the Senior Bowl this week. He's on an airplane right now, which I'm going to go get dressed and go meet him downstairs here in about a half an hour. He's flying back for this event to present Mr. McNair, and then he's flying back to Mobile, Alabama.
Wow.
So he's flying in for this, and, I mean, he was one of the first people I reached out to, and it wasn't even a, let me check my schedule. He was like, yes, I will be there.
Wow.
How did that come about as far as reaching out to Jerry? I greatly appreciate the little cowboy taste on in the room a little bit here, but how did that come about? Their relationship, obviously, but what are some of the details of that?
Well, I talked to Cal, and I said, look, I mean, I want you as a family to enjoy this evening. I don't necessarily know that Cal would be the right person to present. He needs to kind of receive at this point.
Yeah.
You know, so who are? There's so many people that meant so much to your family and specifically to your father. Who is that? And he told me Jerry Jones. And that was the first call I made, and it was the first yes I got, and it was a done deal.
Wow.
And I will tell you, nobody knows this yet, and I can say it on radio because probably most people out there aren't going to, well, some might be in the room, but Jerry Jones' walk-up song when I introduce him, Mama, don't let your baby go.
Oh, that's awesome. Breaking news.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm hoping he's got a sense of humor about it.
Oh,
he said, you think he'll be upset? I said, I don't care. Well, he's probably never coming back to this show anyway, so
yeah,
put it on.
That is great. Patty Smith joining us here. Last one before we let you go. We mentioned the Hall of Famers early on. Rudy T., Mary Lou Retton, Carl Lewis. That's been a great adjunct to this event, is the fact that it's intertwined with the Hall of Fame here. As part of this event and as part of the dawning of the Hall of Fame a few years ago, Has the group that selects the Hall of Fame or takes a look at that sort of thing kind of projected out? Like, how many years of Hall of Famers do we actually have in the backlog right now here in Houston? I would imagine it's a pretty healthy backlog. We have a pretty storied history in this town.
Well, the good news, it's going to outlast any time that I have being the producer of this show, so I'm not going to worry about where it ends. Of course, I'm at that point now, 3 hours before the event, where I'm like, this is the last one I'm ever doing. I'm never doing this again. But, you know, in a week, I'll change my mind.
Okay,
again.
That was my next question. Like, okay, when do you talk yourself back into doing it again? A week?
Yeah, because you have to start all of a sudden, oh, that was great. Well, next year I need to do this, and
yeah,
it'll be better. But right now, I'm like, that's like having a baby, and literally, before that, you even leave the hospital, you're going, when are you guys going to have another one?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like.
Is it? This is like childbirth, huh?
Truthfully, I said this earlier in the week to some of my staff, childbirth is easier. Because if you can just sit back and do nothing, and that baby's coming.
Right.
You know?
Just got to go through the pain.
It's nature just takes its course. But no, this one, this is a lot harder.
Yeah.
Look here, when that opening act blows the doors wide open, she'll be like, yeah, I did good. This is going to happen again. It ain't gonna take a week. She'll be ready to rock and roll.
I can't wait. People, if they can't be here tonight, they can watch it on television, right?
Yeah, it's live tonight on AT&T Sportsnet, and then it'll be on ABC Channel 13 on Friday night primetime as well, and it'll air multiple times after that. But
well,
yep.
We're thrilled to be a part of it again. This is always a great time of year for us. We love this event. You do a great job with it. Congratulations on getting everything put in place for tonight. I'm sure we'll be celebrating congratulations after what's going to be a great Houston Sports Awards. Patty Smith, executive producer of this great event. It's presented by Insperity, the Houston Sports Awards. Patty, go get ready.
All right. Thank you. I'm on my way.
There it is, Patty Smith. We've had a chance to poke our head in on the on the ballroom in there.
Yes, it's
and
beautiful.
Patty is rightfully proud of what's going on in that ballroom.
Not surprised that the ESPYs are the one that I guess impressed her the most, because it's impressive.
I liked hearing that was the one you pattern yourself after. If you're going to pattern yourself after, you go for the gold standard. You go for the brand name.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's.
I wouldn't have wanted to hear. You know who had a really good one? Topeka, Kansas had a beautiful sports awards. Like you go after the ESPYs.
Right.
That's right.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you shoot for the moon. If you miss, you can hang with the stars.
Yeah,
baby.
That's it. All right, so we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to many more guests along the way, the Hall of Famers. Patty mentioned the quarterbacks. We expect at least a couple, two, three of those quarterbacks to also stop by for a few words with Clint and I, with the Super Bowl. This is the first Houston Sports Awards. This is your first one. This is the first one they've had before the Super Bowl. So
really?
They've usually been after the Super Bowl. Yeah, so when these football players come by, we've actually got some good topics to get into with them. What are your, you and I don't do much radio together. What are your early thoughts on this matchup? What do you like about the Niners and the Chiefs?
Well, I'm torn, man. My heart's in Kansas City because I am a big Mahomes fan, and it is very entertaining to watch him spread the ball around. But my mind tells me, man, when you can win an NFC championship game against the Green Bay Packers, and you can do so attempting to throw the ball eight times, you are a powerful, powerful unit. And so I just – my heart is in Kansas City. My mind is in San Francisco right now. And, Sean, I have not decided where I want my wallet to be.
You got
baby.
2 weeks. Yeah.
I got a little while.
I know you dabble in the wagering arts.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I do. So, you know what? I've just been thinking about this matchup. You know, some of the things I like about the matchup, I like that these are two teams that were creative about going and getting the quarterbacks that they have. They aren't two teams that stripped everything down, finished first or set, you know, finished at the bottom of the league, and they're drafting first, second, or third. They draft a quarterback. I like that it's two teams that had foresight when it came to getting the quarterbacks. The Chiefs were already a playoff team, but they liked Patrick Mahomes, so they move up to number 10, and they pick Mahomes that year in 2017. The 49ers – kind of, you know, take advantage of the situation of a trade deadline that was a little bit dead, and they send a second rounder to New England for Jimmy Garoppolo. So I like that. This is the part of this matchup that I think is intriguing to me, is the fact that these are two teams that I don't know how fully tested they've been so far in the postseason. They had relatively easy paths to get to a Super Bowl, and the crazy thing is they were both teetering on the brink of not having these paths. The Chiefs needed the Dolphins to beat the Patriots in order to be the two seed.
Yeah.
If the Dolphins don't beat the Patriots, then the Chiefs have to play Tennessee at home and then probably travel to New England and to Baltimore to get to the Super Bowl. That's a tough putt right there.
Yes.
If
taking care of business.
Right. Instead, they get a bye, and then they face the Texans and the Titans at home. So I don't know if the Chiefs – like, I know we've got this whole body of work of the season, and I know down the stretch that the Chiefs' defense was really good statistically, but they didn't play a lot of great teams down the stretch. I'm not trying to but the Chiefs, but I kind of am. They didn't play a lot of great teams down the stretch, and I don't know if you were power ranking all the teams in the playoffs – the two playoff games they've had to play so far, they probably played, what, in the grand scheme of things, like the, you know, like the 8th and 10th best playoff teams?
Yeah, Texas and Titans.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked at all 12 teams to power rank them like that. I know the Titans beat the Ravens, but the Titans aren't better than the Ravens. They just beat them in a football game.
Sure.
So they beat the 4 and the 6 seed to get there. So I don't know that we're totally sure what we have in the Chiefs. I feel a little more secure in knowing what the 49ers are.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with both of those takes. You know, what I will say is I think what's the draw here is you have got – we talk a lot about creativity, and most of the time here it's the lack thereof with the offense. You see two extremely different offensive football units, but creativity and play caller and game plan is a huge – advantage for both of these teams. When you talk about Kansas City, you can talk about their speed all you want, and you're not going to be wrong. But when you watch their film and when you watch their games, think back to the Texans game when the running back comes out of the backfield and catches the bullet route for the touchdown when they started their comeback against the Texans.
Yeah,
that's you could have ran that route and been open. That had nothing to do with speed. That had everything to do with creativity and design and getting a linebacker in a tough spot to where he couldn't react quick enough.
Jacob Martin.
Yes, and you're gonna get the same thing, Sean, on the San Francisco side of the ball. Now they're gonna most of their creativity and their trickery is gonna revolve around getting advantages in the run game. But when you do it, you sit there on both of these offenses. It don't matter who's on the field. If you are a football head and you appreciate new age, cutting edge, explosive, creative football, you're going to get two heavy doses of it in 2 weeks in total different forms, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be a brunette walk in a black dress and then a blonde walk in a red dress, and they're both going to be sharp.
Yeah, yeah. I like both of those. You know, like
yeah, that's my point.
Blonde, you know, brunette. Amy's dyed her hair kind of blonde at times. It's all good.
Well, that's the point. If you just appreciate the beauty of it, you appreciate the creativity. Yeah. You're gonna get two really really beautiful looks at it come Super Bowl. And whether you're a fan or not, I for one, Sean, I have a hard time sometimes getting into the Super Bowl. I love the commercials. I have a hard time getting into the Super Bowl a lot of the times because I don't have a dog in the fight.
Right.
You know, and This one's going. I'm looking forward to it 2 weeks in advance. If you can't tell, I've been talking 5 straight minutes on it. I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl in 2020, brother.
Should be a lot of fun, man. Should be a lot of fun. The Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. Patrick Mahomes, Jimmy Garoppolo. It'll be a good one. All right, we're live at the Houston Sports Awards. We'll have some guests coming along the way in the last few hours here.
Yeah.
The Hall of Famers, the quarterbacks. Am I going to let you nerd out with the quarterbacks a little bit? I think it's going to be Andre Ware and Warren Moon and Vince Young.
Yeah, well, you got a good feel for this thing, man. You've been doing radio for a while. You got a good feel.
If
you need to, you'll stand up when you need to.
There will be a lot of Astro representation here.
Sure.
Old Lock Dog and John Lopez are going to be down on the red carpet. They claim they're going to be asking non-sports questions to everybody down there.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think they're going to live up to that. I'm anxious to see what kind of questions the Astro people get when they come here tonight. There's supposed to be some Astro players and some representation from the Astros.
Yeah, man. It's, like I said earlier, you just pull up your bootstraps and walk into this thing and go, hey, I'm going to get some uncomfortable questions and it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable until I sit down. And you answer those questions. Altuve answered the question about being a cheater and being investigated and all that jive at FanFest the other day. And the line of questioning should move forward with him, right? You've already got his answer.
I like that Altuve answered it by guaranteeing a World Series.
Hey, that's one way to change the line
that's
of questioning right
yeah,
there. Guarantee
yeah,
another
yeah.
World Series.
Altuve's getting all these questions about buzzers and scanners and wires and garbage cans getting banged on. And in his mind, he's going, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to guarantee a World Series.
Hey, whoever his PR rep is a genius, yeah. right? Go out there and just tell him you're going to win another MVP in a yeah, World Series, and they'll quit asking you about
like
that damn
buzzer.
The guy's
a damn radio host. He realizes he doesn't have to be right.
That's right.
Yeah, he just needs to be entertaining. So that that was my favorite part of FanFest.
Yeah,
Jose Altuve going, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to guarantee a World Series to the city.
Yeah, we talked about standing up in the
That'll
face
be some
of adversity.
Good subterfuge.
Stand up in the face of adversity. Okay, we're going to win it all again next year. Just to stick it in your gut.
Yeah. So they've got a bunch of managerial candidates coming through as well. Dusty Baker was here yesterday. You get any vibe on any of these manager candidates, or you trust the Shros to do the right thing?
I trust them to do the right thing, obviously. The thing wasn't built overnight, and as we've heard Crane say multiple times, there's no chaos over there. They've got things in line, and it's a process, and they'll figure it out. I trust them to figure it out. I love Dusty Baker, but not for the baseball reasons. I mean, all these guys – look – everybody that they're
what other reasons are there to love
Dusty
Baker?
The old school swag. Just I just like him as a guy.
I
appreciate guys that are media friendly. You know, I mean, they've all got resumes that we can line up and talk about how great they are, Sean. I mean, to me, I personally like a little bit of Dusty, but I trust Crane to get it right.
Yeah. All right. We're live at the Houston Sports Awards presented by Insperity. I want to go through a little exercise with you in the next segment.
I can't wait.
That I went through with Seth Payne earlier today. I have identified 7 teams that if Tom Brady does not want to go back to the Patriots, I think could be a fit to varying degrees.
Okay.
Seth shot most of them down. There's one team that he was hot on. I'm going to run all 7 by you. I'm going to see if your opinion matches up with his. So we'll roll through that. Tom Brady is making noise, at least, like he may not be back in New England next year. Where could the optimal landing spot be? We'll go through that with a former quarterback, Clint Sterner, next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.